I'd like to entitle this session as the Schuster's Kinder Gehen Borbis. That means the shoemaker's children go barefoot. And the reason that I want to use that title about the shoemaker's children going barefoot, because we just came off a weekend seminar that we entitled Impassioned Emuna. What that means exactly, even after the seminar, I didn't really figure out. But it has something to do with the fact that it isn't enough just to have the intellectual knowledge of the basics of Yahadus, but there has to be, in order for it to affect one's actions, in order for it to be maximized, in order for it to remain on a permanent basis, it has to be combined, it has to stimulate, it has to evoke passion as well. And if, in fact, there is no passion, then the effects of it are minimalized, the long-term benefits are curtailed, and it doesn't really have the impact that it should. So therefore, that was this thing, and it came to occur to me that here we are presenting such a program, and yet when it comes to our own backyard, or whatever you call this room, we're not as strong in discussing, or we haven't discussed enough, or elaborated on enough, or emphasized enough, or repeated enough, maybe, these basic concepts. So therefore, I wanted to touch a little bit on this concept of impassioned emuna, and maybe even more specifically, the topic of passion. I think that for yeshiva light, b'nei Torah, people who have committed their lives or significant parts of their lives to a life of Torah and mitzvahs, it's really a lifetime commitment, because there are life cycles and there are daily mitzvahs. There are even mitzvahs tederius that are relevant every moment. So it's really a very big, long-term, total, all-encompassing commitment. But for people that have done that, sometimes they fall short. And it's a rather usual occurrence where we fall short of our goals, or we fall short of our intellectual commitments. Yes, I want to do this. I know this is right. I know this is what I should be doing. Push comes to shove, we don't always do that which we're supposed to. And I would like to suggest, and I think that it's pretty obvious, I don't think it's any big chiddush, that a basic underlying reason for this is the fact that there's a lack of emotion, there's a lack of passion. Passion is really what gets me up out of bed in the morning. It isn't the intellectual stuff. The intellectual stuff is very easily forgotten. You know, your head hits the pillow and all the intellect is gone. It's easy compromised. It's the emotional. If there's motivation, if there's passion, if I have to get up to do something that I'm so excited about, it's such a privilege. It means so much. It's such an unusual thing, which unfortunately, some of the things we do may not be so unusual after a while, and maybe that's part of the problem. But there's feeling and passion and emotion and motivation and excitement. It's a different story. When that's lacking, nobody's really in the mood for his intellectual self when he's half asleep. And nobody's really in the mood for intellectual self when he's tempted or distracted by other emotional pulls. The intellect gets sidelined. The intellect gets overshadowed. The intellect gets lost in the shuffle. And in Mela, this emotional piece is very good. I pointed it out at the very introduction to this seminar, when I pointed out that Moshe Rabbeinu, standing in front of Klal Yisrael, after 40 years in the Midbar, the people who either themselves, many of them, or their parents, had been in Mitzrayim, had gone through the Yamsuf, had stood by her Sinai, had lived all of them a life in the Midbar for many years, had eaten mon every day, had drank water from the Be'er, lived in the air conditions of the Anani HaKovet, and the heating conditions of the Amud Eish at night, and a life of miracles upon miracles, and he reviews with them these miracles, and then he says, V'yodato Hayom, you should know it this day. Of course we should know it this day. We know it. It's fact. It's reality. This is what we experience. V'ashivu yisrael v'ovecho, ki Hashem hu elikim. And return it to your heart, ki Hashem hu elikim. Return it to my heart. That's the Targum says, v'susuv l'libuch. It's returning. V'ashivu yisrael. Lohoshiv, ma pitom? Where did it go? How did it get lost? I just ate mon for breakfast. This has been my life for the last 40 years. There it says, intellectually, viodato. But emotionally, it slips. The emotions are very, very slippery, in and out, and push and pull, in one way and another way. And the mele, one has to v'hashivu yisrael v'avecha constant. That's a lotion tmidi. A constant return, because there's a slippery slope that it slips away on, and we have to constantly reinforce it. I've always given the moshel to this, it was at the time a Koilel younger man who told me that he keeps his Rebbe's picture on the table, and when he wants to do something that the Rebbe wouldn't approve, he puts the picture face down. We do that constantly to the Rebbeinu Shalom on an emotional level. Intellectually, what we know, and our intellectual information can't be compromised. That also could be compromised, because we could start to fool ourselves on that level. But assuming that it wasn't even compromised, but emotionally, it has to penetrate, it has to be reviewed, it has to be relived, it has to be refelt, otherwise it gets lost. So anyway, I think this is really the issue, and maybe a major issue, and I must say that in a lot of the private meetings and conversations that we had at this seminar, this issue came to fore, that many people who are religiously committed, and they know what the truth is, they know what they should be doing, but they are falling very far short and compromising very many of their activities because of the fact that they just don't have this feeling, this excitement. And especially in a world which provides all of these temporary, almost hallucinatory excitements, but it's hard to compete, because if I was getting up to go skiing at 4 in the morning, then the minyan, it wouldn't be any problem, except it's probably too early to daven. But other than that, the minyan wouldn't be a problem. But if I was... Please, let me just get it out, okay? So, but the problem is that... The problem is when I have to get up, for a minyan, and then all of a sudden... And that's because the emotional piece is not as it should be. So I was wondering, what can we do to try to fire up this emotional piece? Okay, now, what is there emotionally that can fire us up about a life of Tariq Mitzvahs? It's a very interesting question. What is there? As far as I know, there's a lot of responsibilities, a lot of obligations, a lot of burdens. Well, that doesn't excite me emotionally. In fact, in the state of mind and being that I am, both lazy and distant and preoccupied and I don't know what, ADD'd and all those things, like, that doesn't really strike me so much, as these obligations are so exciting. So there has to be some other factor that excites me, that emotionally stimulates me, and then permeates everything that I have to do, all of my responsibility, that I can almost weave through the pages of the Dalit Chelke Shulchan Aruch and say that, this is what makes me go. This is the motor. This comes from the heart. This comes from the emotion. This comes from the feeling. This is what creates the motivation to really obligate myself and deliver on all those obligations that I have. What could that be? Well, there are many strains of this. There are many forms of this. There are many names for this. There may be many books for this. But I think the underlying factor, the underlying emotion, is really the concept of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who has a relationship with Hashem. Now, a negative relationship is also a relationship, but it's not a very healthy one, and it's not a very productive one. Although sometimes it's better than nothing, but that's not for this discussion. But a positive, passionate, mutually loving, mutually respecting, a deep-rooted connection, a sense of oneness, that can make a difference. And the truth of the matter is, we find that the Torah is full of this concept wherever you go. The Zohar, the famous Zohar that everyone knows, Yisroel, Ve'oraiso, Ve'kudsha Baruch Hu, Chadu. That's very close. If you're one, it's almost as close as your relationship with yourself. Because it's one. It's me. It's one. Yisroel, Ve'oraiso, Klal Yisroel, the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Achadu, they're one. There's mitzvah of Dveikus Hashem. The Torah repeats many times of a Dovak Toboy, clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So there are many versions of that too. One is to connect with Talmidei Chachomim, who teach us the Darkei Hashem. The other one is to emulate the Darkei Hashem. Mahu rachum afato rachum, mahu chanun afato chanun. Other times, Chazal darshan, mahu gomel chasod, mahu malbish harum, mahu kever ameis, mahu mevaker choylim, afato. Many different roshes which lead us to dveikus. Rav Meir Simcha in the Meshech Chochmo says that the mitzvah of a dovak toboy is a tzivoy to have bitochen in Hashem. That too is a form of relation. I trust him. Trust, in fact, is the underlying ingredient in any real, meaningful, lasting relationship. I trust. I trust Hashem. That's it. So that's the ultimate relationship. The Goyin writes that the Iker Nesinas HaTorah LeYisrael was Kedei Sheyivtachu BaHashem. The Iker of the giving of the Torah was they should trust Hashem. That relationship. The Hillel said to the Goy, if you want to learn Kol HaTorah Kula Al Regel Achas, Mada Loch Sani L'Chavruch Lo Yisavit Zeh Kol HaTorah Kula. What does Rashi say in the first pshat? Reyacha Reyavich Al Tazoiv.
What does that mean?
Chavrucho means your friend. The Chavrucho means here, Mada Loch Sani, that you hate to do, don't do to your friend. Who's the friend? Reyacha Reyavich. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't forsake HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't breach the parameters of your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zeh kol ha-Torah kulo ve'idach pirusha, zil gmor. That's what Hillel told the Goy. So according to the first pshat in Rashi. So we see that this concept of relationship with Hashem, that's really the essence. That's what it's all about. Now, there are problems in this relationship. Our relationship with Hashem maybe is somewhat on the rocks. It's a little bit a little shaky. It's a little bit not what it should be. The reason for that is twofold, okay? The reason for that is twofold. Number one, he seems to be distant. I don't see him. He doesn't talk to me, directly at least. And I have trouble a little bit, you know, gauging his reaction to my talking because he doesn't speak in any of the languages I speak. He doesn't seem to communicate with me. There's another part of that relationship which makes it very abstract, that even when I talk to him, I can't see him. I can't touch him. Yeah, he's all over, but who is he? What is he? I don't understand him. I don't know him. The Rambam seems to indicate that the initial movement to Avodah Zarah was because they had to try to conceptualize this abstract concept of a God. So the only way they could deal with it was by creating certain, either looking at certain celestial beings, the sun, the moon, the stars, or by creating certain graven images to try to say, oh, now I got it. Oh, now I have someone to talk to. Now at least I know who I'm talking to. I know what to say. He didn't answer back. That was a problem, but at least it was an attempt. So, of course, then I got carried away to this was it. But Lamaisa, it's a very difficult type of a relationship to, as many people say, I talk to him every day in tefillah, but he doesn't answer me. Other people say, the Torah and to learn halacha and this, but I know, yes, I know he gave it Har Sinai, I know he appointed Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, I know there were eyewitness testimony, I know it was passed down accurately from generation to generation, but It's so many years ago. It's so long ago. If he would tell me directly, if he would talk to me and say, this is what I want you to do, it wouldn't be nine, how many generations, 400 generations remote. You know, this one told me, and this one this, and this one that, and this one the other thing, and that. It wouldn't be like that. So it would be easier to deal with. So we have many reasons why we find that it's difficult to add up, you know, we have trouble in that relationship. There's no question about it. We have trouble in that relationship. So I want to suggest the following general formula, and then hopefully we on our own can expand it. And the formula really is twofold. It's one, to be aware of how much he is actually involved in our lives and loves us and pays attention to us, and how we are the center of his universe, so to speak, and how much, despite the fact that we feel so distant sometimes, how that love is so passionately active within us, and it's something that's real, but some, maybe just a little bit hidden, and we have to be aware that it's there to be able to better access it. And if we're aware of his active participation in the relationship and our active participation in the relationship, even though we seem to think that neither is really 100% the way it should be, that hopefully can really get us to begin to work on feeling this relationship more, and therefore motivating ourselves more to do what we have to do and to act according to those intellectual directives that we know are correct, because of the fact that the emotional motivation has been enhanced. And I want to start with and this maybe should be an ongoing discussion, because I don't know if we can accomplish it all in a short period of time. I know we can't, in fact. But listen to this. Here it is. The Mishnah Brewer brings in Hilchas Dinei Kedusha, Kuf Chof Hei, he brings as follows. It's written in the name of the Sefer HaCholos Zeler Shoyne, that this is the language. The Sefer HaCholos must be some Kabbalah Sefer. Baruchim Atem Shomayim V'Yorde Merkovo. You will be blessed to Hashem, heavens, and the Malochim that are Yorde Merkovo, whatever that is exactly. Im Toimu V'Tagidu L'Bon, if you will say and tell my children. In other words, Hashem asks the heavenly hosts to go down and to tell his children the following message. Ma shani oise b'shor shemakdishim v'oimrim kodesh, kodesh, kodesh. I want them to know what I do when they say Kedusha. Hear that? Very interesting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells these heavenly hosts, I want you to go down and tell Klal Yisrael, I want Klal Yisrael to know that when they say Kedusha, I want them to know what I am doing. So here already we have a sense of relationship. We are doing something, and he's doing something in response, and he wants to communicate to us what he is doing by telling the Yorde Merkova and the Shomayim, however that works, he knows how to be to activate them to deliver the message, that what he does when we say Kodesh. Okay, so let's see what happens. What's happening? If then we have to understand what he does, then we have to understand what we do, and then maybe we'll get a little bit of what's going on here. He said, "V'limdu oisam, teach them." I want them to do this kodesh in a very special way, so that it activates, so that it evokes in me the ultimate response which I want. So, in other words, here we have like this a very interesting relationship. I want them to know what I do. And I want them to know what to do to bring it about, that I will do it even more or better, or to cause it to happen. I don't know exactly how that works. But it's mamish, a complex relationship, sending a message, and then the message should be how they should respond in order to evoke more of a response from the original sender of the message. V'limdu oisam, shiyu eineyem nusuois lamorim, lebeis tfilosam. They should first keep their eyes focused on the heavens. The base tfilosim, I guess, the house the house of their tefillos. In other words, the house where their tefillos are, I guess maybe the Beis Hamikdash Shel Malo that's referring to. I don't know too much about these things, but this is the place where tefillos are directed. This is the base tefillos.
Why is it up?
That's maybe the way we perceive it. I don't know. But that's the way. Keep their eyes up, okay? The base tefillos. We call it, that's what we say, Hashem Bashamayim. It's in the Shamayim. I don't know. That's what we call it. Even in the Goyish world, they have it. They say, "Oh, it just happened out of the blue." You know what "out of the blue" means? From the sky. Happened from Hashem. Everybody refers to Hashem as, I guess, because we can't touch Him and see Him here, so we say the Shemayim. But in reality, of course, we know Hashem is here and Hashem is there and Hashem is everywhere. Okay, now, so he says, "Sheyu einem nusuas lemorim lebeis tefilos v'noisim atzmom lemalo." And they should elevate themselves on their toes a little bit, that their eyes are focused this way, and they're up on their toes. They elevate themselves, lamalo. Okay, that's what they should do when they're saying Kodesh. And listen to what he says. V'limdu oisam, that's right. She'enem nesuas lamalo. Ki ein li hano bo'ilom. You want to hear a confession from the Boiri Oilam? He's confessing. He's sending us a message. But what a message. Ein li hano'o bo'ilam. I have no pleasure like this in the world. There's no greater pleasure to me than what? Be'ois ke'ois osho, she'enehem nesuois be'enai, ve'enai be'enehem. When their eyes are lifted up, looking to my eyes, and my eyes respond back to them. Our eyes are focused. There's a very romantic pose of looking into someone's eyes. It's supposed to be a very, they're looking into my eyes and I'm looking into their eyes. That's exactly what it says. That's the definition of this divine connection, this relationship, this love, this relationship. Look what it says. They lift up their eyes to my eyes. My eyes looking into their eyes. Wow. What do I do? Now I want to let them know what I do as well to solidify that relationship. I take hold of my kisei hakovod. I guess it's in Demus Yaakov. I don't know. That's what it must be made, Demus Yaakov. And I hug the kisei hakovod because it's Demus Yaakov. It's representing my, expressing my love to Klal Yisrael. Mechabko, umenashko, and I kiss it. Umazkir schusam, and through that I remind myself of all the schusim, of all the merit that Klal Yisrael has, because now I'm so overwhelmed with love because of the connection that came, einai be'einayim, einayim be'einai, that I became so overwhelmed with love that I remember their schusim. And what do I do with that? And I bring about and I speed up the geula. To me, this is a very graphic expression of a relationship with the Boirei Olam. It says maybe more about what he does to us, and maybe we have to look a little bit more into what we're doing and why we evoke such a relationship from him. But I think that just thinking about it like that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says like this, I want you to send a message to Klal Yisrael. I want them to know what I do when they say Kodesh Kodesh. But I want them to maximize my response, my loving response to this relationship, by telling them the best way to do it. It's like giving romance advice, giving dating advice, you know, how to bring out the best in a relationship. This is what he's doing. And the advice over here comes from the partner in the relationship himself. And he sends down a message. Listen, guys, you do it this way. Oh, will you bring out a loving response from me? He says, and what should be that the way they should do it? They should put their eyes to heaven and lift themselves up like, I want to connect with Hashem. And I'm looking into his eyes and he's looking back in my eyes. And at that moment, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is saying how he responds, become so overwhelmed with the love that they are expressing, that I feel towards them, and that they are reciprocating or attempting to connect with, that I take hold of the kisei hakovod b'dmus Yaakov and mechabko menashko, And then I'm maskir schusim, I say, this is a different Klal Yisrael. In the context of that loving, passionate, loving relationship, I remember the schusim, and I have to speed up the golos because, you know, and I guess we live in a sped up golos, believe it or not, but it's still taking a while, but that's what this does. Now, I saw that's mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I would like to just for a moment mitzidenu what we're doing, and then just use this as an example of how we have to, how important it is, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do this, how he sends special messengers to do this, how he instructs us exactly how to evoke the maximum love. So it's really, it reeks with relationship stuff. It really is talking about relationship stuff. What is it all about? So I want to suggest as follows. We say, Kodesh, 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 Hashem, Tzvokos, Meloi, Chol, Oretz, Keboidoi. Those are the words that he's referring to. And when we lift up our eyes and attempt to connect, and look, Einayim be'einai, ve'einai be'einayim, and we say, Kodesh, 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 oh, he's mechabik, what he does, he his love is like, who knows what, he grabs hold of the kisei hakovod, and he's mechabko menashko, and he's mazkir, he's madly in love, kaveh yochol, with Klal Yisrael at that moment. What are we doing? So first of all, the word kodesh means mufrosh. That's Rashi, Ramban, Rashi, everybody says that Kodesh means separate. Kodesh, 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 Kodesh means Hashem is mufrosh, mufrosh, mufrosh. He's way above and beyond anything conceivable. In what? So here, there's a posuk. The Novi says, we bring it in Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the davening. Vayigba Hashem tzvokos ba-mishpot. Hashem tzvokos is elevated in mishpot. V'hokel ha-kodesh. Kale refers, the Goyin says, refers to the Midas Hashem of that he's koivesh, he overpowers his kas in order to have rachamim. HaKodosh is nikdash, with what is he sanctified, the Holy One? Bitztoko, with the Midah of Tztoko. It does not mean that we sanctify him by giving money. That's not what it means. But nikdash bitztoko, the Goyin says that the Midas HaTztoko is a midah of giving more than a person deserves. The midah of tztoko is that he gives, that's what tztoko is too. When you give tztoko, there's no specific obligation to the person you're giving. You have an obligation to do tztoko, and the individual is not necessarily, it's not coming to him per se. So it's an act of giving, even though it may not be coming to you. Same thing the Goyin says by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that tztoko means he gives even beyond what we deserve. So what have we done? When we say Kodesh, Kodesh, and Hashem Tzvokos, it says in the Pasuk, Vayigba Hashem Tzvokos ba-mishpot. Hashem Tzvokos refers to the Melech HaMishpot. So the Melech HaMishpot is standing, there's a Melech HaMishpot, but what is he? He's Yigba, but he's Nikdash Bitztok. When we say he's Kodesh, we're saying that this Melech HaMishpot, Hashem Tzvokos, is Nikdash Bitztoka means that what is his essence and what is he so separate above and above and above and above and above beyond everything else in the midah of giving us beyond what we deserve. And Meloi Choloretz Kevoidu, the Avudrom says, refers to Hashkocha Protest. The whole world is full of his COVID, which means the whole world is experiencing Hashem's personal Hashkocha. So then the pshat is that we look at Hashem and we say, you are Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. You are Mufrish in what? You give beyond what we deserve. And the whole, even though you're the Melech HaMishpot and you sit in Mishpot, but besides Mishpot, in addition to Mishpot, tempering the Mishpot, you give everybody beyond what they deserve. You have this Midah of Tztoka, which is above and beyond anything imaginable. And because of that, Meloi Choloretz Kevoide, the whole world is full. All the Hashkocha Protest that happens in this world happens not because we deserve it. Many things happen because we deserve it. But be'ikar it happens because Hashem is Kodosh, Kodosh, Kodosh. And that's why it's Meloi Chol Oretz Kevoido, because he's always judging us and giving us beyond what we deserve. If that's the case, then you know what we're doing? We're now connecting to Hashem with the ultimate sense of trust and bitochen. Because we're saying, what's the only interference that exists that interferes with a person trusting Hashem if he knows Hashem is there and he knows he's powerful and he knows he's good natured and he's kind and he's moli rachmim and chesed and he wants to give and wants to atova and chesed and so forth. The only thing that interferes with the bitochen is that maybe I don't deserve it. Kodesh, 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 v'nikdash bitztoko. Hashem's essence is he's infinite, infinite in the midah of sitting b'mishpot and doing tzedakah. If that's what he does all the time, is tzedakah, which means giving me more than I deserve. So that allows me to put my trust in him. And therefore, this Kedusha can evoke the ultimate trust. And when I'm saying this Kedusha, and I'm trying to connect with Hashem, and I'm trying to connect with Hashem without any barrier, and I'm trying to put my trust in Hashem, because trust is the essence of a relationship, and I'm trying to do it in such a way that I look to his eyes and his eyes to my eyes, and then together we just, and I've inspired myself in the Midas HaBitochen, there can't be a greater connection or relationship than that. So anyway, so I think that we have the ability to realize Hashem's relationship with us. We have the ability to recognize our ability to have a relationship with him. He does communicate to us in various ways. His Hashgacha Pratis is certainly the communication of what's the extent of his Midas HaTzedakah, and therefore what's the extent of his love for Klal Yisrael. And I think that if we focus more, even just when we say Kedusha, even when we just every opportunity that we have, just to think about, it's there. That love is there, and our reciprocation is also there. It's there. It may be buried. It may not be so obvious. It may be, as Rashi says, as the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, he's hiding behind the windows. He's peeking through the crevices, but he's peeking. He's watching. He's watching to see that nothing happens to us, to take care of us. He's there. And we have that love also. We'll talk more about it. I guess we'll have to continue this next time. But just this, we can begin to feel this dynamic of love that exists between us. And it's something you have to work on. It doesn't come with a speech. It doesn't come with one Musa Seder. It doesn't come with one Kedusha. But it's something that can be worked on. And if we work on it and work on it and work on it and realize it again and again and pay attention, and just like any relationship, relationship has to develop. And even when a relationship reaches the level of relationship, it has to expand and it has to get deeper. You know, the big joke is, it's not a joke, but people, you know, they enter into a relationship. Let's say they date and then they get engaged. And they go, ooh, what a relationship and this and that. And people tell them, say, hey, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's just the beginning. Then you get married, and then it deepens the relationship. And when you have children, it even deepens the relationship and the connection between them. It's a process. It's a lifelong process. But it's a process that's achievable on many different levels, and it's a process that you have to work hard for. But as everything else in Torah, yogato v'lo imotzoso al ta'amin. If there's yegiah, there will be metziah, and we will succeed. So, let's get to work.